Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, yo, what's going on? It's Friday, January 3rd. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant, and what a mess we have for you today. I'm going to break down every game for Week 18, not like we normally do on these Friday shows, but I'll try and give you as much of the ins and outs of each game as possible. If you happen to be in a Week 18 Fantasy Championship, well, I won't play the shame bell. I'm not going to shame you, but you might want to consider changing that for the future because, well, it's rough out there in the streets. This is a very, very rough week. The good news, though, is since it is Week 18, since it is officially 2025, I released my first set of rankings. Now, it's only a top 50 to get things started, but next week I'll actually have a full set of rankings, and I mentioned this on the podcast yesterday, but unlike in years past where I waited until after the NFL draft to get projections in place, the way that I've improved my model, I'm going to have projections really right from the jump. I already have seen them with my own eyes behind the scenes, and they will be up over at ftnfantasy.com here shortly. Not up today, not up this week, but as we move into the NFL postseason, we'll start having that up there for you as well. Next week, we will talk NFL postseason stuff, but today, Week 18. All right, let's dive into it. The first two games are on Saturday, Cleveland and Baltimore. Baltimore, as of right now, is a 20-point favorite. I don't think I've ever seen that. Now, that doesn't mean it's never happened. My memory's not always the best, but I really don't remember seeing a 20-point favorite in any game. So Baltimore's 20-point favorites. The one risk there, if you're using Baltimore guys this week, is them not playing the entire game, like if it is such a blowout, because Cleveland is scraping the bottom of the barrel. You have, you know, Jerome Ford out. You have David Njoku out. You have a backup quarterback who's essentially basically like a third string quarterback by my book as your starter. It's just a mess. Now, I will say this. Derrick Henry needs a touchdown to get to 500, an extra 500K. And that doesn't seem like a big ask for him given the season he's had. Justice Hill had an incentive in play, but he is not going to play in this one. He's out with an illness. So the only other thing of note here, Lamar needs 45 yards to hit 4,000. He needs a passing touchdown to hit 40. He should do those in his sleep. I highly doubt he gets the 148 rushing yards to get to 1,000. Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. So if Baltimore does in fact win as we expect them to, that would lock Pittsburgh into a wild card spot. So there's a chance they pull their starters, don't play their star or their key starters. There's a number of things at play there. George Pickens needs 100 yards for 1,000. That's a bit of an ask, especially if, you know, they don't end up going with, like, you know, the starters for the full game. Keep an eye on the betting odds as the Cleveland and Baltimore game goes on. That will be really telling for us because as of right now, the betting odds are still relatively close, and this is with a full strength Cincinnati squad. It's only 2.5 points. Cincinnati's favored by 2.5. So just keep an eye on that one. I would expect that, you know, if let's say it's like a month ago and the teams are about where they are now, maybe Cincinnati's a point favorite. So maybe they're giving a little bit of a boost here. But regardless, a lot at play here. Obviously, Jamar Chase is going for the triple crown. Chase Brown needs just 10 yards for 1,000, but he is banged up. And very much up in the air for this one. As of right now, questionable, went 3 straight DNPs. So we'll keep an eye on him. Joe Burrow needs 359 passing yards for 5,000. We also have Mike Gesicki, just 3 receiving yards. He'll get 125K. Starting the Bengals with confidence here, though, it could be one of those scenarios. If Pittsburgh doesn't play their starters and Cincinnati gets out to a huge lead, we could see backups in that game. If Chase Brown doesn't go, then Khalil Herbert is an RB2. Carolina and Atlanta. So Atlanta is heavily favored here. They need to win, but they also need Tampa to lose. There's a lot at play. Obviously, it's a great spot for Bijan Robinson. Darnell Mooney needs just 8 yards for 1,000 on the season, and obviously you get another start out of Michael Penix Jr. I am really intrigued by Michael Penix Jr. going forward. I haven't fully completed quarterback rankings yet. he's not going to be too highly ranked, but you know that could change if he goes out and puts on a show in this game. Now, granted, it's against Carolina, so it's not going to change dramatically, but really still trying to get a sense of what Michael Penix Jr. is going to be in 2025. We'll do a whole podcast on, actually, I may have to do a series of podcasts in January on each position, because the one nice thing is we're not going to have a lot of change in my initial rankings until really we get into, man, free agency. So March. So we'll, you know, they'll kind of be stationary for about 2 months there. All right, let's move on. Washington and Dallas. So Washington with a win would lock in the sixth seed. Could happen. They are 6-point favorites here. Dallas is playing essentially nobody except Rico Dowdle. And by the way, Rico Dowdle, because Ezekiel Elliott's not even on the roster anymore. So this should be a full complement, full workload there for Rico Dowdle in this contest, which is pretty good. I like him in DFS. On the Washington side, Jaden Daniels needs 136 rushing yards for 1,000. I don't see that one happening, but he's still a very good fantasy play, even if he doesn't play the entire game. And that's if it's a blowout. Zach Ertz, 9 receptions away from 250K, 90 receiving yards away from another 250K, and 2 touchdowns away from another 250K. That's a lot of dough right there. It's not the biggest. There are a couple that are even bigger, but Zach Ertz should be set up for a decent day. I think they're going to force feed him the football. Chicago and Green Bay. Now, Green Bay, they could move up if Washington lost and then Green Bay won, but I don't really expect much here. You know, Josh Jacobs, like usual. The wide receiver group is kind of crazy, like usual. So the only thing that really is at stake here is DeAndre Swift has 106 yards to get to 1,000. Not a big one, not a bonus or anything like that, but 1,000 yards is still a nice season. I'm playing the Bears basically like I played them all along, though. DJ Moore, wide receiver 2. Keenan Allen, wide receiver 3. Roma Dunze, flex. All right, Houston, Tennessee. There are some moving pieces in this game. Houston is expected to use their starters briefly, and then they will exit the game. That should mean Joe Mixon hits 1,000 rushing yards. He's 7 yards away. However, he's 107 away from 250,000. Doubt he gets that. Nico Collins needs 32 receiving yards to get to 1,000. Should be doable, but again, it's only going to be a couple series for them, at least according to our expectations for the team. Now, the intrigue comes on the other side. Tony Pollard needs 83 rushing yards to hit 250K. He can also notch another $200,000 if he records 2 rushing scores. He's going to play in this one. He's been limited in practice. Tajay Spears, I don't have a Friday report, but I think he's almost certainly going to be declared out because he's in concussion protocol and went back-to-back DNP. So Pollard should get a big workload against, I don't want to say it's all backups for Houston, but a lot of the key players won't be on the field. This one is, it sets up really well for Tony Pollard. Love him in DFS. Love hammering, you know, whatever betting odds I can get on these guys with incentives as well. It's important. Calvin Ridley, 59 yards to 1,000. But the weird thing with Tennessee is they're going to use both of their quarterbacks. And I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know if that means they're going to rotate series, which would be really weird, or if they're going to give each a half. But yeah, that's a bit of a mess. I do think Ridley gets there, though. To 1,000. Jacksonville and Indianapolis. Honestly, I have really nothing in this game. I would probably avoid it with the exceptions of Brian Thomas and Jonathan Taylor. I guess Michael Pittman. I don't mind Joe Flacco for DFS. I'm also thinking about the people who have like a week 18 championship. I don't want to be rolling in with Joe Flacco. Michael Pittman Jr. does play better with Flacco out there, but this is really a game about coaches. Doug Peterson's almost certainly fired on Monday or Sunday night. And then the question is Shane Steichen fired? Is Chris Ballard fired for them? Like, what do they do here? Because, you know, you made a big move for Anthony Richardson. I get it. Go after the ceiling, but it really hasn't hit. And in a lot of ways, that puts you behind the eight ball you know, not only now, but going forward, like if you don't have that quarterback, we know how hard it is to win in this league. And this was a franchise that was, you know, obviously spoiled with Peyton Manning and then to a lesser extent with Andrew Luck. But otherwise, they've really struggled. You know, anytime they haven't had those two dudes under center, basically. So it is. I don't want to knock Rivers. Rivers did a nice job. But it was his last year, you know, his late career. Anyway, Buffalo, New England. So Buffalo is another team that is expected to pull their starters after a couple series. Should be enough time for James Cook to get 19 yards to hit 1,000 in this contest, but wouldn't go overboard with the Buffalo Bills. Should see plenty of Ray Davis. Could see some Frank Gore Jr. in this one as well. But Ray Davis would probably be the guy that I'd be looking at for DFS. Don't love him, though. I don't. Drake May should play in this one. That's what we're being told by the Patriots offensive coordinator, Alex Van Pelt. But there really isn't much appeal. I mean, really, New England, they kind of need to lose to retain the number one overall pick. They have a buttload of money for free agency. So, you know, this is kind of like mission T. Higgins, like go out, get T. Higgins. By the way, that could be T. Higgins' last game with the Bengals, because even if they win, they still need Denver and Miami to lose. So a lot of moving pieces there. But Drake May to T. Higgins looks pretty good to me if that goes down. All right, Giants, Eagles. We know that the Eagles are resting their starters, so Saquon won't get a crack at the record. We got to keep an eye on whether or not they're actually going to use Kenneth Gainwell, because if they don't, then Will Shipley will be the player to go after for DFS. Otherwise, we're still waiting to see if Kenny Pickett can even play. He hasn't been practicing. If he doesn't go, then it's Tanner McKee. Pickett's got a ribs issue. So Eagles resting all the key starters. And again, the backfield's probably the only thing to look at here. To the other side, I mean, I'm fine with using Malik Nabers provided he plays. He popped up with a limited practice on Thursday with a toe issue. He is chasing history. He has a few receptions behind Brock Bowers, but if he outproduces Bowers by enough, he could hold the rookie single season receptions record. So we'll see what happens there. Brian Daboll very much on the hot seat, and I don't think he coaches his way out of the hot seat in this one, but there is something else here. NFL draft wise, if Tennessee in fact does win, because they are favored, then and you have the Browns and the Patriots lose, the Giants would move to the three. Why is the three important? Well, the Patriots are not going to take a quarterback. They have their quarterback. So let's say the Browns are at two. The Browns could very well take a quarterback. You know, Watson is now all reports suggesting he's basically done with Cleveland and vice versa. So then that leaves you with the Giants with the other quarterback. So if Shedeur Sanders goes at two, then there you go. You get Cam Ward. So see, much ado about nothing there, Giants fans. No guarantees there. They could win, though, and play themselves even further out of this position. So we'll see. New Orleans, Tampa, a lot of incentives in this one. Tampa is heavily favored by, I expect, pedal to the metal for them. Mike Evans could make $3 million in this game by recording 5 catches and 85 receiving yards. So the 85 receiving yards also would, you know, write his name in the history books along with Jerry Rice for the only players with 11 straight 1,000-yard seasons. And he'd be the only one to do it over the course of his career, because Jerry Rice didn't have a 1,000-yard season in his rookie year. So in other words, give me all the Evans. There's also Baker Mayfield incentives. Now, it's not as much as Evans. It's $500K. Still pretty good chunk of change, though. He has to finish top 5 NFC or top 10 NFL in these categories, and he is currently reaching the criteria for all of them. So the categories are yards per attempt, completion percentage, passing yards, passing touchdowns, and passer rating. He also needs just one passing score for 40. It would be great if that goes to Mike Evans. But anyway, yeah, stacking those guys up. Bucky Irving's a little dinged up, but expected to play. They could be close to full strength, with the exception, obviously, Chris Godwin isn't going to be back this season, but Cade Otton could potentially be back here. Something to keep an eye on the New Orleans side. And by the way, New Orleans, your lead back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. If you needed any more reason to not play your championship in week 18, but Marquez Valdez-Scantling needs a touchdown. He'll get 250K if he scores. Kansas City, Denver. So DeAndre Hopkins has a catch bonus and a receiving yards bonus that he will not reach because the Chiefs are going to rest their starters. And so if he plays, it's barely. He needs 9 catches. He needs 140 receiving yards. So this one sets up Denver heavily favored because Kansas City is going to be basically playing Carson Wentz, Carson Steele, pretty much any guy named Carson is going to play for them apparently this week. And that's about that. So Denver should steamroll here. Cortland Sutton needs 82 receiving yards for the max of his $2 million bonus. So I think he gets that. I like the Denver Broncos a good bit here. Bo Nix is a solid play. So is Cortland Sutton. Pretty straightforward. Chargers Raiders is not straightforward. We don't know exactly what the Chargers are going to do just yet. There is a world where they just say, we're resting our starters. There's a world where they play them the entire game. Or they play them sort of just enough. Like, for example, J.K. Dobbins needs 58 rushing yards to make $150,000 more. He's already hit some of his bonuses, some of his incentives, but he could hit another one. Now, the problem is if you're the Chargers, you want J.K. Dobbins to be healthy for the playoffs. So be careful there. Keep an eye on the betting odds. Keep an eye on the news for anything Chargers related. Alexander Mattison needs 8 catches to make $125,000. I don't, you know, want to say that's anything close to a lock. That's actually a bit of a long shot. However, Amir Abdullah may not play in this one. He has a foot issue. Keep an eye on his status today. If he doesn't practice, I wouldn't expect him to go. Jacoby Myers needs 96 receiving yards to hit 1,000. It's doable. There's no incentive there, but it is a nice feather in the cap for a season that largely was a lost season for the Raiders. But Myers really did step into that number one role at wide receiver, not number one for pass catcher because that's been Brock Bowers, but still a nice season for him. And of course, Bowers needs to just pad those numbers and hold off Malik Nabers for the rookie receptions record. Seattle and the Rams. So the Rams are resting their starters. We already know that. We're going to get a lot of Blake Corum. Love Blake Corum in DFS. Top 12 play for me in season long. And then we'll get Jimmy Garoppolo under center with Jordan Whittington, Tutu Atwell, and Tyler Johnson in DFS. They're all under 4K on DraftKings, but your guess is as good as mine. However, the other side is more interesting. So the Seahawks are not playing for anything except maybe some pride and some dough for Geno Smith. He's 185 passing yards away from a $2 million bonus. He also, if he keeps his completion rate above 70%, which is where he currently is, he will have another $2 million bonus. And if they win, he will have another $2 million bonus. So the potential of a $6 million payday in one game for Geno Smith, that's the real deal. They're going to play for that. No doubt about it. DK Metcalf needs 61 yards for 1,000 on the season, which again, no money for that, but a nice feather in his cap for sure. Miami and the Jets. Okay, so Miami needs to win and they need Denver to lose to get in. Now, if Denver loses and Miami loses, Cincinnati, obviously, if they win on Saturday, would get in, but that's a bit of a long shot. Tyreek Hill needs 61 receiving yards for 1,000. He had a 100-yard game with Tyler Huntley last week, and Tyler Huntley looks like he is going to start in this one. So, you know, I mean, Huntley, he's cheap in DFS. That's about it there. Tyreek Hill's still at least a wide receiver too with upside. We know that Devon Achane isn't as good when Tua isn't out there, but he's still usable as an RB1. Devontae Adams needs 25 yards for 1,000. He's done that 5 times before, which is kind of hard to believe he hasn't had more 1,000-yard seasons given all of his touchdown productivity, but you would figure that would be a priority. And Tyler Conklin, who's banged up, needs 1 catch for $250,000. I think he guts it out and tries to get that catch. You know, heck, get the catch, then get it and come out of the game. But, you know, we'll see if the Jets can play spoiler there. San Francisco, Arizona. So we're going to have Josh Dobbs starting for the 49ers. Great DFS plays, min price. Juwan Jennings needs 77 yards for 1,000. No money for it, but we did see Dobbs tossing the ball a bunch to Jennings last week when he came in. So that's a viable one right there. Otherwise, keep an eye on Deebo Samuel because he hasn't practiced yet this week. On the other side, Kyler Murray is 50 rushing yards plus one rushing touchdown away from a $750,000 salary escalator. So something to pay attention to there. Michael Carter will be the running back for the Arizona Cardinals in this one. Finally, start him if you've got him in the Minnesota-Detroit game. Basically, everybody is viable. It last I checked was a 56.5. Yeah, 56.5 over under. This is going to be a great finale. And a couple things at play. So Jared Goff needs four passing touchdowns to hit 40 for the season. Very viable. And Sam Darnold needs five for 40 for the season. So that one is also very viable, even though it's a big number. I actually kind of like Darnold just a little bit more than Goff because the matchup, I think put him side by side, Goff for me gets a slight edge in a neutral matchup, but the matchup is tougher for Goff here. So I like Darnold a little bit more. Jameson Williams, 33 yards away from 1,000. And again, start him if you got him in this one. Great ending to the season. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bid you adieu for the regular season. You go and enjoy this weekend. Do whatever you got to do. If you got a Week 18 championship, go for it. DFS, betting, all the good stuff there. Next week on a comeback, we'll recap what we saw and the coaching fallout that is going to happen on Monday. And then Wednesday, we'll push forward into the fantasy postseason. So postseason fantasy football draft and hold style leagues. I'll run through a few other league types if you want to dabble. In the meantime, ftnfantasy.com, go check it all out. Check out the top 50 rankings for 2025, the initial set. Not way too early. I think they're just on time. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter/X, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Blue Sky. All right, enjoy the weekend. I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.